Vandeham. Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripraja Kacharya Astotara Sata Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripraja Kacharya Astotara Sata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shamakunda Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Arivo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We have just completed the year 2017. And have begun the year 2018. In other words, time is passing. The clock is ticking. And so I thought to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about the passing of time and what it means. what it means for most people and what it can mean for some people. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I noticed some people didn't chant, so everyone should chant. It's not going to hurt you. It will benefit you. So again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So please repeat after me. Ayur,
Ayur,
Arati,
Arati,
Vai,
Vai,
Pumsam,
Pumsam,
Budyan,
Budyan,
Astam,
Astam,
Cha,
Cha,
Yan,
Yan,
Asau,
Asau,
Tasyarte,
Tasyarte,
Yat,
Yat,
Kshano,
Kshano,
Nita,
Nita,
Uttama,
Uttama,
Shloka,
Shloka,
Vartaya,
Vartaya.
Please repeat. Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam.
Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam.
Udyan Astam Chayan Asau.
Udyan Astam Chayan Asau.
Tasyarte Yakshano Nita. Uttama Shloka Vartaya.
Uttama Shloka Vartaya.
Ayu.
Ayu.
The duration of life.
The duration of life.
Arati.
Arati.
Decreases.
Decreases.
Vai.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of the people.
Of the people.
Udyan. Rising.
Rising.
Astam.
Astam.
Setting.
Setting.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Yan.
Yan.
Moving.
Moving.
Aso.
Aso.
The sun.
The sun.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Of one who glorifies the Lord.
Of one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite.
Rite.
Accept. Yat, by whom, Kshana, time, Nita, utilized, Uttama Shloka, the all good personality of Godhead, Vartaya, in the topics of. Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. Except one who utilizes the time, by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. So, according to the Bhagavad Gita, and it is the fact, the jiva, the living entity, the spirit soul, is transmigrating from one species of life to the next. But when he comes to the human form of life, he has the ability to realize his eternal identity as Krishna's eternal servant and to escape the cycle of repeated birth and death and go to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. So the human form of life is very significant. And it is meant especially to realize the spiritual value of life. So, this verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. So everyone in this room is engaged in devotional service. For one thing, you're hearing Shravanam, that is devotional service, bhakti yoga. You're chanting, most of you, that is also devotional service, kirtanam. You're seeing the deity, being worshipped, that's also devotional service. So you're already engaged in devotional service. But here, Srila Prabhupada says, accelerate, go faster. It's like somebody might be driving along, but not going very fast, he's not making much progress. But if he steps on the accelerator, then he'll pick up speed and he'll make more progress. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here, step on the gas, step on the accelerator, go faster. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Now, you may think, I have my duties. I can't just give up everything and become a sannyasi and devote myself fully to Krishna consciousness. But Srimad Bhagavatam says that if you perform your duties, but you do not develop attraction for hearing the messages of Vasudeva, or the same thing, Uttama Shloka Vartaye, topics of the all-good personality of Godhead, then Shrama Evahi Kevalam. You have simply wasted your time. So that's all right. You have duties. You have responsibilities. That's all right. But your performance of your duties is just a useless labor if you don't develop attraction for Krishna consciousness. And that attraction develops by association with devotees. So you're here. That's already a good beginning. So come again and again and step on it. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. In other words, you You cannot buy back any time that you've wasted. You can't. It's gone. So we want to be very careful not to waste any time. Our life, our duration of life, ayur, is composed of time. It's made of time. So if we waste even one moment of our life, we can never buy it back. And at the time of death, when we're destined to leave our body, no matter how much money we're willing to pay the doctor to extend our life, he cannot extend it even one moment beyond our allotted time. So that means that the time we have in our life is of incalculable value. So how much we must be careful. If we thought that by being inattentive we might lose $1,000, we would be very attentive. But our duration of life, which is worth more than any amount of money, we can't buy it for any amount of money, we're not so attentive. We're not so careful. So Srimad Bhagavatam is instructing us to be careful, not to let any time slip through our fingers without use, proper use. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. Everyone wants to be happy, which is natural. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. Anandamaya Vyasat, the Supreme Soul is by nature blissful, and the living entities who are parts and parcel of the Supreme Soul are also by nature blissful. But our original blissful nature has been covered by our material consciousness, our material body to begin with, but more than our material body, our material consciousness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. So the example is given of a fish out of water. As long as the fish is in water, it can be happy. But if you take the fish out of water, even if you put it in a beautiful bowl, golden bowl filled with gems and jewels, and light all sorts of incense and spray perfumes and make everything wonderful for the fish will not be happy because he is out of his natural element, which is the water. So we are spiritual beings. Our natural element is spiritual, the spiritual domain. And as long as we are outside of the spiritual domain, we can never be happy. We can experience some semblance of flickering happiness, but we cannot experience real happiness. And that's why everyone is all vainly seeking happiness. I saw a little, I don't know if it was a sticker or a shopping bag, but it said, the greatest obstacle in the pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of happiness. Because we're pursuing happiness in the wrong way. He is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes in contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord, through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. So we are spiritual by nature. We can be happy only in relation to the Supreme Spirit. And the Supreme Spirit, God, Krishna, is manifested as his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his entourage. And by coming in contact with any one of those, we come in contact with the supreme absolute truth, the supreme spiritual entity. And then we are in our natural element, and we can be fully satisfied. Recently we celebrated Kirtan 50, and there was Kirtan going until 3 in the morning. But people didn't mind. They weren't thinking about eating or sleeping because they were in connection with the Supreme Spirit, and that was giving their souls satisfaction beyond anything that can give them happiness in relation to the body. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord explains that such contact in the following words. Quote, endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. So this is also a very important point, that by rising and by setting, the sun is taking away our duration of life. It's taking away everything that we have acquired materially in this lifetime, because it's bringing us closer to our death. And at the time of death, we lose everything. But whatever spiritual progress we make is an eternal credit, and it is not destroyed at the time of death. Rather, we continue in the next life where we left off in this life. So, for example, if I progress 1% in Krishna consciousness in this life, then in the next life I begin from 2%. So that is a great benefit of Krishna consciousness, and a drastic difference between that spiritual achievement and material achievements, which are all finished at the time of death. And therefore, a devotee is not afraid. because he knows he will continue in his next life where he left off in this life. Of course, we want to finish completely in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. But if we don't, we can continue where we left off in the next life, especially if we don't commit offenses. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. So, yeah, a highly potent drug injected intravenously. I mean, if you take a pill, you know, it might take a while for it to work. But if it's injected directly into your bloodstream, it takes effect immediately. And similarly, the highly potent topics of the personality of Godhead were injected into the ear of the pure devotee, acts very quickly and very powerfully. So that's what we're doing here, attempting to do here. Oral realization of the transcendental message implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization, for a moment, in the association of pure devotees, like Shukadev Goswami, prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. So the duration of life of everyone is being decreased by the passage of time, by the rising and the setting of the sun. But it is not robbing the devotee of his duration of life. Rather, he is coming closer to his eternal life with Krishna in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. Everyone in the material world is Kunti, full of anxiety. But in the spiritual world, there's no anxiety, and therefore it is called Vaikuntha. So that is our goal, at the time of death, to be transferred to the spiritual world, or Vaikuntha. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes one of the items in the process of knowledge as Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosa Anudarshanam, to always be mindful of the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. That is actually part of the process of knowledge. So if someone thinks, oh, I don't want to think about these things, this is, it's too morbid, it's too depressing, that is a sign of ignorance. Definitely a sign of ignorance. So we want to be conscious of these miseries because such awareness is an impetus to us to make advancement in devotional service. So we get out of this diseased condition of material life in which we're forced to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. The The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Did you hear that? Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If anyone here is a Brahmin, at the end you can stand up and make yourself available. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin, without Brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. So if you give money to someone who's not a qualified Brahmin, even then, whatever you give, you'll get the same amount back in the next life. If it is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. That's just pretty good. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, we should have different sections. You can choose where you want to give your charity. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100,000 times. That's pretty good. And if the money is given to a Vedaparaga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta Sarvayar Aham Eva Vedya. So if we give in charity to someone who's realized, whose Vedaparaga has realized the goal of the Vedas, which is Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, and then that money is returned by unlimited multiplications. So unlimited multiplications, my understanding of unlimited multiplications is it must be beyond the material world, because everything in the material world is limited. So, of course, it can be experienced in the material world, but ultimately it's spiritual. I'll tell a little story. I told it the other day, but still. When Srila Prabhupada visited, I believe, Hong Kong, he was received at the airport in a Rolls-Royce car and taken to the penthouse suite of a very opulent and prestigious hotel for a press conference. And at the press conference, one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada that you're supposed to be a spiritual person. Why are you riding in a Rolls-Royce car? And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, that's true. Actually, I come from the spiritual world where everything is made of spiritual gems. And I am the representative of God. And even if they had collected me in a Rolls Royce made of solid diamonds, it would not have been good enough. So why did I, a spiritual person, ride in a Rolls Royce car? Because that was the best they could offer me. So I accepted it. And when, so from there, Prabhupada came to Bombay, and he actually told me this story in Bombay. And after telling me the story, he said, "What else can you say to such envious people?" But the way he answered it was so, it was clever, but it was also true. And it was disarming and charming. Shishi Radha Kalachanji ki jai. Shishi Gaurani Thai ki jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. So, yeah, so that would be the unlimited multiplication. The opulence of the spiritual world is so far beyond anything we can conceive of in the material world. And that would be the return on our investment of service or money to a pure devotee who has realized Krishna. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. So depending on who you give the money to, you'll get a greater or lesser return. But there's a guarantee that no matter who you give the money to, you will get a return. That is guaranteed. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord, which we're doing, is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Hari Bol. Madama Gatva Purna Janma Navidyate. That is Lord Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who attains to his abode, a divine abode, never has to take birth again in this miserable world. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So yes, a devotee has a physical body which is subjected to disease and old age. But those are not impediments. Rather, they are impetuses to the devotee to accelerate his or her practice of devotional service to achieve his or her eternal life in Vaikuntha with Krishna. So there's nothing bad in the life of a devotee. Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, good and bad are manodharma. They are mental concoctions. Actually, in the material world, nothing is good or bad, or everything is bad. And the only thing that is good is spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. So even apparent reversals such as, or setbacks such as old age and disease, are not really bad for a devotee because they can be an impetus to the devotee to accelerate his efforts to achieve his eternal spiritual life. And especially in Kali Yuga, of course, all these processes are important and they go together, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, but especially easy and beneficial in the present age is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that will bring us to realization of Krishna, starting with his name and then his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his associates, everything. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
So to keep us on our schedule, we will have 10 minutes available for questions. So if we have several devotees that have some questions, if you could put your hand up, we'll pass the microphone through, please.
Can you please pass the microphone?
First Prem Charu.
Yes.
And then Mishra Bhagavan.
Thank you, Maharaj, for such a nice class. You know, you mentioned about accelerating our Krishna consciousness. And one of the things which you mentioned was offenses. So how do we understand this science of offense? Like, what constitutes an offense? Like the offenses, the 10 offenses which we read, like they are the primary, or like some key factor, you know, so that part is taken care of and we can accelerate and keep going.
Yes, accelerate can mean to engage only in Krishna consciousness and not in other activities. That if we engage in other activities outside of Krishna consciousness or without any relationship to Krishna consciousness, that will slow us down. And the other, as you mentioned, is committing offenses. And that can make us go backwards, or at least apparently regress. So there are offenses. There are different kinds of offenses, seva, aparad, offenses in deity worship. But the most damaging are nam-aparad, offenses in the chanting of the holy name. And we should know what those offenses are, and we should avoid them. But one of the offenses is pramadaha, or inattention. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our previous authorities, says that if we engage in pramadaha, inattentiveness while chanting, then the other offenses are allowed to flourish. And if we are attentive in chanting, then all the other offenses will be destroyed. So if we work on that one, that will serve all purposes. I mean, we could discuss for a long time about the offenses and how to avoid them and how to counteract them if we happen to commit an offense. But I think if we just focus on that and then staying in the association of pure devotees, usually we commit offenses when we associate with people who are not properly respectful of devotees and the process of devotional service. Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning how when somebody does devotional service, then that's never lost, and then whatever amount they do, they'll pick up later. But we've seen people over the years have done a lot of devotional service, and one day they don't want to do any more devotional service. And like I ran into one of our god brothers at a public function and said, "Hari Bol, Chotan, how are you doing?" And he said, "The name's Greg. I'm all done with that scene." So I thought that he's according to Bhagavad Gita, he's going, whatever, he may not want to do devotional service, but Bhagavad Gita says that whatever he's done, it's gonna restart in the future. What is the criterion or the, what takes place that makes the person who's quit doing devotional service, but they've done a lot in the past, and what rekindles it or reignites it that then they go back to the level that they're at and start making further progress?
Well, the most common reason that devotees fall away from devotional service and the least pernicious or the least poisonous is the desire for sense gratification. They just don't have the strength to resist the temptation of the senses to indulge in illicit activities. The rarer reason and more damaging is committing offenses. And we should avoid that. But I think these are like exceptions that you're bringing up. I mean, you may say you know a lot of them. Maybe you do. But still, overall, they're exceptions. And we would rather focus on the good examples of success and get inspiration from that. Yes, we can also learn from the examples of failure, or at least temporary failure, what not to do. There can be benefit from that. There but for the grace of God go I. We should be humble and realize it could happen to us. It could happen to any one of us. So we have to be very careful and cling to the lotus feet of Krishna. Stay in the circle of pure devotees, and adhere to the practices of bhakti yoga very strictly. Otherwise, there is chance. So, yeah, we should be careful. Are there any other questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a nice class. I have a question. So I was reading one of the lectures which has been given by Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying that oftentimes when we are practicing our devotional service, sometimes we figure out some of the difficulties, and then we think that, go, I will figure it out, or I will sort it out. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that, we cannot figure it out because, we have, we are under the influence of all three modes of nature. And we will not be able to sort it out because we are with those four defects. But he was saying that, we are defective, but the only way that we can accelerate our bhakti or devotional service is by that adapting or probably following some of these prayers been given by one of the methods he was saying, and that we should always read some of the prayers been given by the Mahajans in in Bhagavatam or probably the Vaishnava book. But I was thinking that I try to read them, but I cannot internalize that because it's not my prayer. So I was trying to get into that mood, but it is very difficult to get into that mood. So just reading, my question is, just reading is enough? Or, how do I internalize that? And then how do I get into that mood when I am reading that, not just reading that, those prayers?
Well, that's a good question. Yes, we cannot be successful on our own strength. So we need to pray for mercy. And the general form of a prayer, as Srila Prabhupada said, is that one states the qualification of the deity to whom he's praying. One states his own disqualification. And one prays for mercy. One simple example is, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar, is praying to Lord Chaitanya, that you are known as Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the fallen. Mosamo Patita Prabhu Napai Behar, and I am most fallen, so you should save me first. So that follows that pattern. There are two types of prayers. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions two types of prayers, stuti and stava. Stuti means that one repeats the prayers of others, and stava means that one composes or makes his own prayers from his heart. And so both are legitimate. There is a concept of tadatma, to become one. So sometimes I do this. When we're reciting a prayer, we can pray to become tadatma with the author of that prayer, to become one with his thoughts and his mood, because it won't come naturally or may not come naturally, but we can pray, to become tadatma with the author of that prayer. And chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a complete prayer, and we can infuse it with whatever mood of prayer we have. This is very common that people can chant with a different mentality. I'll give an example. If you go to Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, which is a shopping area, you will hear a merchant say, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, come, come, come. So he's saying Hare Krishna Prabhu. But what is he thinking? He's not thinking about Hare Krishna, he's thinking about money. He's saying Hare Krishna, but what he really is thinking is paisa, paisa. So the consciousness is really the most important. So when we chant Hare Krishna, it is a prayer already. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. But we can imbue that or invest in that our own special mood. And that's what's so beautiful about kirtan. We can, 500 people can be chanting, or 50, or 5,000, and they may have their own level of consciousness, if you will, but whatever their level of consciousness is, they can absorb themselves in the chanting, and the chanting will help them to make further progress. So, but as Srila Prabhupada said, the chanting is like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. His Holiness Niranjan Swami told a story of a child in the Boston Temple whose parents were, I guess, pujaris. So parents, they can tell the urgency of the crying of their child. So anyway, this boy, you know, on Sunday he'd run around and he'd cry, you know, and, you know, it could be like he didn't get what he wanted or he just wanted to get attention or whatever it was. But one Sunday they heard that boy crying hysterically. I mean, hysterically. And, you know, the sound of that crying was different from the other crying. And everyone immediately became alert. And where is he? What's wrong? And eventually they found him in the bathroom. He had locked himself in the bathroom and he couldn't get out. And he was crying hysterically. And then my own little purport is that this material world, Prabhupada said, this material world is like a stool room. We should do our business and get out. And if we think we're locked in permanently, we should scream desperately till someone opens the door and takes us out. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj Ki.